Hi everybody, welcome to part number 6 of the Our Covenant God study. Firstly, let's do our recap of last week's questions. Homework question number 1. Why do you think that God kept repeating the word give in this conversation? The key word in this whole covenant is give, because God has initiated and done everything. There was nothing that Abraham, or you or I, ever did or could do in order to earn God's devotion and favor. God chose to give us his love and his loyalty simply because he loves us. He is the giver, and we are the receivers of his abundant love. I think that the question we should ask ourselves is, how will we respond to his giving? Is there anyone who will give back to him in return? Because a grateful heart would surely give him back the life that he has given so freely. Amen. Homework question number 2. List all the gifts that God promised in this conversation. Who would the beneficiary of these gifts be? Number 1, God promised to give Abraham this covenant relationship. It might seem strange, but when we realize that this is a covenant relationship where God would even die your death penalty, which Jesus did years later, then we realize that even the covenant is a gift. The beneficiaries of the covenant would be Abraham and his descendants, and that would include you and I. The second thing that God promised was to give Abraham fatherhood of many nations, and he promised to give Abraham and Sarah a son. The third thing is that God promised to give Abraham's descendants land. His physical descendants would inherit the physical land, while his spiritual descendants would inherit the kingdom of God. Of course, the physical land should be part of the kingdom of God. Amen. The fourth thing that God promised was to make Ishmael a great nation because of Abraham's concern for Ishmael. Homework question number 3. Why do you think that God changed both Abraham and Sarah's names? Well, when God changed Abram to Abraham, he was giving him a reminder of who he really was. Every time that someone spoke his name in conversation, it would be a reminder of his destiny and his purpose. Likewise, every time that Sarah's name was spoken, her value as a princess would be reaffirmed. Just as a caterpillar changes into a butterfly, Abraham and Sarah were also undergoing a metamorphosis in their lives, exchanging their old identities for who God said they really were. Question number 5. Based on Mark 16, verse 15 to 18, as a covenant partner with God, what should you be doing, and what signs will follow you? I should go into the whole world and preach the good news of Jesus Christ. I should be casting demons out in Jesus' name. I should be flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I should be laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. Whatever plans Satan sends to destroy me will come to naught. I have a mission, a purpose, and a destiny to fulfill. Amen. Glory to God. Something that is very important, it features very strongly in covenant, is that there are always reminders of the covenant. A covenant is never a secret thing. It is public, and there is always some type of tangible reminder of the covenant. This would be referred to as the sign, or the seal, or the token of the covenant. In a marriage, the couple often exchange rings. A ring would be a sign of the covenant. It is visible to all. Now today, rings are made from gold or silver or other precious metals. But there was a time when the ring would actually be cut into the flesh of the covenanting couple. The scar that would remain could never be removed. It would be there forever until death us do part. Now, why is a sign so important? What is its purpose? To understand this, it's a good idea to have a look at the very first time that God ever promised people that he would make a covenant with them. In fact, God promised to make a covenant with all living creatures on this earth. I'm referring to a conversation that God had with Noah. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible, Genesis 9, verse 8 to 17. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "Behold, I establish my covenant or pledge with you, and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, whether the birds, the livestock, or the wild beasts of the earth, along with you. As many as came out of the ark, every animal of the earth, I will establish my covenant or pledge with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there ever again be a flood to destroy the earth and make it corrupt." And God said, "This is the token of the covenant, which I am making between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I set my bow, rainbow, in the cloud, and it shall be a token or sign of a covenant or solemn pledge between me and the earth. And it shall be that when I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow, rainbow, is seen in the clouds, I will earnestly remember my covenant or solemn pledge which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters will no more become a flood to destroy and make all flesh corrupt. When the bow," that's the rainbow, "is in the clouds and I look upon it, I will earnestly remember the everlasting covenant or pledge between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." And God said to Noah, "This rainbow is the token or sign of the covenant or solemn pledge which I have established between me and all flesh upon the earth." In part number 2 of the study, we spoke about the covenant scar. The scar was a permanent testimony to the covenant. It would always be there as a guarantee, reminding the two parties of their covenant rights and responsibilities. This is where we get today's custom of waving our hands in the air. Because, as we've said before, you recognize your blood covenant friend not by their face, but by their blood covenant scar. The two main parties in the covenant were God the Father and Jesus, God the Son, who walked in Abraham's stead. Both parties in the covenant had to bear the scars that would serve as the reminder of the covenant between them. Because Abraham was included in the covenant with God, he had to carry a covenant scar. That's why you will see in Genesis 17 verse 9 to 14, Abraham was instructed by God to be circumcised. This is still in Abraham's fifth encounter with the Lord. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. "And God said to Abraham, 'As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generations who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Circumcision set Abraham and his descendants apart from other people. It wasn't like it is today. Baby boys are now routinely circumcised in the hospitals. In those days, other nations did not undergo circumcision. When Abraham's blood flowed as he was circumcised, he became a legal partner to the blood covenant with God. And even today, circumcision is a constant reminder of the covenant that God made with Abraham's descendants. Jesus bore both God's scars as well as man's scar of the covenant, which was circumcision, because he was God standing in the place of man. Jesus, as the Son of Man, bore the scar of circumcision in his body. Jesus, as the Son of God, bore the scars of the crucifixion on his body.